pitkikinhän mustat noo pekki voi. Hevona pö haagelöseni pekuskog. Kun taas se huomma kehti. Kiso pitit. Hevona kahki opise.
Some people hear their own inner voices with great clearness, and they live by what they hear. Such people become crazy. They become legend. Tristan Ludlow was born in the moon of the falling leaves. It was a terrible winter. His mother almost died bringing him into this world. His father, the colonel, brought him to me, and I wrapped him in a bearskin and held him all that night. As he grew into a man, I taught him the great joy of the kill. When the hunter cuts out its warm heart and holds it in his hands, setting its spirit free. Colonel Ludlow had three sons, but Tristan was his favorite. I had had sons too, but they were gone now, forever. It was a very bad time. The colonel had tried to help the people, but it was no use. So he decided to go his own way. He wanted to lose the madness over the mountains, he said, and begin again. Lose the madness, he said. And so we lived for many years, and the boys grew strong. Alfred was the older brother, old even for his years. Samuel was the youngest. There was nothing these brothers would not do for him. They watched over him like a treasure. One year, I am an old man, cannot remember the year, but it was the moon of the red grass when Isabel Ludlow, their mother, went away for the winter. She said the winters were too cruel for her. She said she was afraid of the bears. She was a strange woman anyway. That spring, though, she did not return. And after that, she did not come much to see us. Alfred wrote her many letters, but Tristan refused to speak of her. His world was here, with me. Every warrior hopes a good death will find him, but Tristan couldn't wait. He went looking for his. Thank you.
again.
Hey, Masquah. Was it the bear?
Yes, sir.
Can you breathe?
Yes.
Take your hand away.
Come on, take it away.
Ah, oh, boy.
You stupid half-brained jackass. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
One step put you up to this?
He deserves to be dead, you know that?
God knows how you've lived so long. It'll be all right, son.
Hijo, sagi tehtava.
Yeah.
Lomu somto. Skoka matsino hill kakano ims. Komu somne, wa.
I have these letters, many letters. Read them. They are from all of them. Ludlow, Isabel, Samuel, the whole family, the whole story. It is all written here.
April the 13th, 1913. Dear Isabel, I am not fool enough to try to reorder a life already lived. But I fear I have not done well raising our sons alone in this wild place. What did I know of children? I was trained to lead men. This is infinitely harder.
Dear William, you take too much responsibility on yourself, as always. Our sons are finding their own paths. They are willful, certainly. But then, who are you and I to complain of willfulness? As for Samuel, I have big news. At a Harvard tea for Amy Lowell, he met and instantly loved Miss Susanna Fincannon. And William, I know it will surprise you greatly, but they are engaged. He will bring her to Montana this summer to introduce her to his brothers and to you. So, William, please behave yourself and be as charming as only you can be.
Hey!
There he is. How the hell are you?
I'm good, and you?
Samuel?
Father, how are you?
Good to see you, boy.
Good to see you.
Hello.
Oh, Father. This is my fiance, Susanna.
Hello.
Miss Fincannon.
Oh. Nice to meet you.
It's an honor.
And this is Alfred.
Hello.
How do you do?
Here's your dog, miss.
Thank you.
It's a horse.
That's you. A strange looking animal.
Ben, he's a champion, aren't you, Ben?
You like exotic looking dogs then, Miss Buchanan?
Very much, Mr. Ludlow. Please call me Susanna.
All right.
And he's just plain old Alfred.
You shut up.
Where's Tristan?
He's off somewhere. You know him.
Well, he'll be here tonight to welcome his brother home, or I don't know the reason why. Well, Miss Fincannon, please, you have a good journey.
She is such a lovely creature, William. But I fear the loss of her parents has given her a certain fragility. And at times I think she feels very alone in the world. But she has found a new family now, hasn't she?
And the German military is ready to use chaos in Croatia as a justification for actions that could just plunge the entire civilized world into
action. Samuel, the word civilized has no place in any discussion of the affairs of this world.
It's been canon. Mother has told us of your sympathy for the social reformers.
You make it sound like a disease.
No, on the contrary, I'm in agreement.
Well, your mother has told me all about one stat. She says that he was a great warrior.
Oh, yes. He has a bag of scalps hidden away somewhere to prove it, too. But don't worry, he's devoted to father now. Or rather, they're devoted to each other.
Can he speak English?
Stab? Speak English? He wouldn't lower himself to speak English, would you, Stab?
Oh,
watch out. Because he understands it perfectly well.
Hey! There's Tristan!
Hey!
They feed you up there?
Not much.
Oh, you smell.
Miss me, did you?
Still hungover?
Still drunk.
Isn't she amazing?
So this is Tristan. And does he speak English?
Tristan, for God's sake.
Mr. Fincannon, it's a pleasure to meet you. I hope you and Ugly here find every happiness together. Momotomo Smail.
Don't mind my brother. Your dog has more breeding than he has. Hey!
Pleasure to meet you, Pat.
Thank you.
Agamone arborflora, longifolia, and Angelica arguta.
Angelica arguta, which one?
It's this one. Angelica Susanna.
You must be Isabel, too. I've already met your mother and father. How old are you?
13.
13? Oh. When I was 13, I was sent away to boarding school. I hated it. May I help you?
You're going to marry Samuel.
That's right, I am.
I'm going to marry Tristan.
Then we'll be sisters.
I see you two have met.
Isabel, too, is letting me help.
Susanna, would you like to take a rest before dinner? You must be exhausted.
No, not at all. This is so refreshing. All this grandeur, this unexpected gift from God.
Well, it doesn't seem like much of a gift 4 months into a hard winter, I can assure you. Where's Samuel?
Oh, he's inside. I can tell that your father wanted him all to himself.
You're very generous.
No, just happy.
Alfred! Stop moaning over Miss Fincannon coming here. Samuel wants to know about those young calves you bring in up from Cheyenne. Come on, get in here.
Please excuse my father. It makes him feel young and powerful to treat us like we're idiot children.
This and all these countless blessings, may God's holy name be praised and blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tell Father what you were saying about Vienna.
What's that?
Oh, it's the Kaiser. He won't lift a finger to stop them from annihilating Serbia.
Let's not talk about war at the table, please.
Well, Susanna hears that all England's mobilizing.
Well?
Well, we're stuck out here in the middle of nowhere while all this is going on.
And thank God for that.
Well, you wouldn't want us to evade a clear duty.
Wouldn't I?
Father, with respect.
Please excuse me, Spigler. Packed so carefully, I couldn't find it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like
some?
As evening fell, a maiden stood at the edge of a wood. In her hands lay the reins of a stallion. And ne'er I'd seen a girl as fair, heard a gentler voice anywhere. Whispered, alas, she belonged to another forever. Yes, she belonged to the twilight and mist.
Dear Isabel, how strange to have a cultivated woman in the house again. And how intoxicating. Indeed, to have all three of my sons under my roof again fills me with such a deep, quiet satisfaction that I thank God.
I got a dollar that says he brings her back.
Whoa, honey.
Nice work.
You guys look like a bunch of ice cream cones.
I named Sergeant Arthur Guy.
I knew you would have.
Ready? Here we go.
Oh! Oh, so easy on him, Suzanne.
Alfred, you take over. I'm gonna go talk to Tristan.
Disgrace the colonel's name.
Nice shiner.
Yeah, well, I hit her back.
She's got me spinning.
I bet.
She's got these ideas and theories, and she's, she's...
What?
Nothing. So how'd you break the mirror?
Oh, no, no. She's what?
Well, she's sort of passionate.
She virgin?
Good Lord, Tristan.
You brought it up.
Well, of course she is.
Are you?
Well.
Yes, I am.
You can wait till you're married.
See, she says... Susanna thinks that... No. We're not going to wait.
And you're afraid you won't meet her expectations?
Well, I guess I am. Sort of. I don't know. Should I be?
Samuel, God bless you. You are good at everything you try to do. I'm sure it'll be the same with fucking.
Tristan, really? We're talking about my future wife.
Oh, you're not going to fuck her?
No.
No?
No, I'm planning to be with her.
I recommend fucking.
You're impossible.
You brought it up.
Whoa! That was so fun.
My point! Oh.
Dexter. It's not going to pop.
Morning, Colonel Ludlow.
Tristan's gone hunting, so whatever it was, he didn't do it.
You don't have to worry about Tristan, Colonel. No, this here is Mr. John T. and Mr. James O'Banion. They own the new mercantile store.
Morning.
Morning, James, John T., sir.
Morning, Alfred.
Morning, Alfred.
We're looking for a man we heard might be in this part of the country. Name of Tom Cullen. I have a likeness here.
What does this fellow do?
You recognize him?
Yeah, I recognize him.
You got him, James.
This fellow passed by here, maybe 4, maybe 5 years ago. Did some work here. He was on his way to San Francisco, he said. He was hoping to book a passage on a boat to Australia.
Australia?
Or was it Hong Kong? I can't remember. Can you remember, Alfred?
I think it was Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, yeah.
What exactly is he wanted for, sir?
Well, he,
That would be of a private nature, sir.
Private nature? It's a public office you hold there, Sheriff, isn't it? Gentlemen.
There came a low hiss, a horrid cold sound that made Rikki Tikki Tavi jump back 2 clear feet, and then inch by inch out of the grass, rose up the head and spread hood of Nap, the big black cobra. I can always read another story, you know, Samuel.
The Germans broke through at Armentières.
What?
The entire British Third Corps is trapped in the Belgian lowlands. And this paper is already a week old.
Calm down.
Father, with my fluent German, I could become an officer.
Yes, and lead other young boys to the slaughter and be slaughtered yourself.
The men who served under you worshipped you.
Then they were damn fools, all of them, weren't they?
This is a turning point in the history of the world. How can we
what?
Father, you can't expect us not to be part of this.
You taught us.
I taught you to think for yourselves. That's what I taught you.
And to defend what's ours.
Yes, what is ours? What is ours?
Well, we've already lost 2 of our cousins at the Marne.
And we've never even met. And don't talk at me, boys, if I've never seen a war.
Not a war like this, you haven't.
Ah. They said that about the War of Secession. They said it about the Indian Wars. That's what people who want to sell newspapers say about wars.
These are not the Indian wars. We're fighting against naked aggression.
There will be no more talk of wars in this house. Damn it! I'm sorry, Suzanne. Please.
I'm going to Canada to enlist.
I'm going with him.
I'm sorry, my love. I meant to speak to you about it tonight. I know you'll understand. It's the only honorable thing to do.
What's that?
It's a book my father wrote. To try to convince the government to alter their policies towards the Indians and the Dakotas.
Samuel won't change his mind.
Change it for him.
Father said she never liked any of them.
I think they loved mostly the idea of each other.
Please don't let him go.
I'll take care of him.
October 14th, 1914. My dear Isabel, today our sons are leaving home to defend an England they have never seen, and I am unable to stop them. Ah, Isabel, I have tried to shelter our sons from all the madness, and now we go to seek it.
Take care now.
Samuel?
Bring me back the Kaiser's helmet.
Bring yourself back. And please me more.
Yes, sir.
Listen.
Colonel Ludlow told me ride with them to Calgary. Bring back the horses. Damn fools, he called them. Damn fools. The colonel, he would not have his sons ride off to war on old nags. Damn fools or not.
John, bring your plate.
Okay. You'll be back.
May we join you? Sit down. Huh? Feeling lonely in there. Sit here.
What's her name, sir?
Lady.
Lady?
Tristan's lady.
In the story, Tristan's lady was Isolde.
You know who Isolde was, don't you?
No.
Ah. Decker, your daughter's in need of education.
Well, she can read and write, Colonel. School might be awkward for her.
No. I teach her myself.
May I help?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Literature, history, mathematics. And with your permission, of course, Decker, and your respect.
What do you think?
Come here, son.
What will she do with all this education?
She'll live a richer, fuller life, of course.
She's a half-breed, Colonel.
Not in this house, she's not a half-breed.
Tristan calls me a half-breed.
Tristan calls you a half-breed?
He says I'm half gopher and half hawk.
After her chores, then.
Yeah. To us all.
To you, sir.
And miss?
And to the boys.
And the boys.
You watch my back. Now, mate.
February 3rd, 1915. Dear Susanna, the horror of this place is indescribable. Nothing is as I thought it would be.
You did not!
Tonight, as I prayed for the souls of those who've died so terribly but so bravely, I admit that I also prayed for personal glory. Is that wrong? To want to distinguish myself gloriously in combat as my father did? Though Tristan and Alfred watch over me so carefully that I may never get the opportunity. Susanna, I see now not that my father was right, but that I was naive.
Let me out, Sherwin! Get out! Let me out!
Still, we place our bodies in God's keeping. We go into battle honorably, full of confidence, with his name on our lips.
We're pinned here!
We'll wait!
Give him a hand, you.
Hold him
down.
Go.
Okay, use my leg. Try it, move it. No. No, don't touch.
Susanna, I try to guard against despair, but there are moments when it seems that all human decency is broken down. Alfred will recover from his wounds, but he and Tristan seem to have drifted apart, or worse, and I cannot understand it. I miss you more than you can imagine. You are all that is clean and cool and pure. I close my eyes and fix my thoughts on you. I now regret that we listened to everyone and agreed to wait to marry. Even more, I regret that I left before we could be together as we planned to be together, my beloved. Please stay on at the ranch and wait for me. Don't let Father worry. I know that God's mercy will protect me, aided considerably by Tristan, who seems to have come to France less to fight the Germans than to act as a nursemaid to me. Be well, my love. Your own, Samuel.
Captain needs me to translate this for tonight's reconnaissance.
Alfred, gonna want to see you.
I'll be there.
Yeah?
Go on and go.
Samuel.
He's translating, he'll be here.
Oh boy, that's a good one.
Vino?
Put that away.
You said you'll be getting a medal.
Yes. They're sending me home.
And I'm glad for you.
I'm an officer. I belong with my men.
Horseshit.
What's left of them?
Tristan. No. Mackenzie was just brought in. His legs turned bad. He said...
What?
He said what? Go on, man. What is it?
He said your brother, he volunteered to take his place and go over on the reconnaissance with the Capitaine.
God damn it! I told you to stay with him!
Come on.
Tristan? Tristan, it's me.
March 20th, 1915. Dear Father and Susanna, I am being discharged from the army, but I cannot come home yet. I will write to Grandfather Ludlow in Cornwall and ask him to let me join him and go to sea. As for our beloved Samuel, all I can send home is his heart. Alfred will bring it back. You know the place he should be buried, up in the Box Canyon where he used to draw the birds. Your son, Tristan.
He certainly was the best of all of us, wasn't he? Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Father.
Alfred. What you saw that night before Samuel left.
Oh. Please, you don't.
No, no, I want to. It is Samuel I loved.
Right. Tristan will be back someday.
Your father will be pleased.
Susanna was to return to Boston on the morning train, but a norther blew for 3 days and drifted over the tracks. And the colonel insisted she stay on until spring. The house was too empty, he said. This was still her home, he told her. He should have let her go. But how could he have known what would happen? She was not to blame. She was like the water that freezes in the rock and splits it apart. It was no more her fault than it is the fault of the water when the rock shatters.
Susanna? You know how much I love Samuel. And I think you know. Out of respect for him, I wanted to say it in this place. I think you know that I'm in love with you. From the first moment I saw you, like in a novel, that's my mother's overblown romantic imagination coming out in me, I suppose. You're not making this very easy for me, Susanna.
Sorry.
Is there any hope that you could learn to love me? Oh, no, not the way you love Samuel, of course, but enough to... Susanna, we could make a life together. A happy life.
I don't think so, Alfred.
Sounds like you're not sure, though. Maybe there's a chance.
I think that can only cause you pain, Alfred.
But why don't you let me be the judge of that, all right?
It's not an obligation.
Yeah, well, I didn't break it, but I can fix it. I can put the damn wheel back on here. I can take it off of here myself.
So go take a nap.
Hit.
Colonel!
What?
Look!
Welcome home, son.
Baby,
one
kid.
Hey, hey,
hey.
Nice ride today.
Excuse me, Father.
Please.
When are you planning to be married?
Morning.
Damn you, Tristan. You will marry her.
Make an honest woman of her?
Yes! God damn you to hell.
Yes, I will marry her. If she'll have me.
If she'll have you? Do you love her? Or did you seduce her just to spite me?
It's not what I did.
And what about Samuel?
What about Samuel?
You tell me about Samuel.
We all love Samuel. Samuel is dead. What?
How convenient that is for you.
Because you love her, I will forgive you for that. What? You say that again, and we are not brothers. What?
Tristan, you know you can't make her happy.
Gotta try.
You will fail. I'm going to be leaving today.
Alfred?
I do wish you both all the best. September 7th, 1915. Dearest Mother, I think I may have found my place in this world. Helena is a city turned modern overnight, bursting with all the energy and vitality of our times. I feel alive here. There is much opportunity for anyone willing to dedicate himself to his labors. Already, I seem to have acquired a reputation for honesty and fair dealing, and I am pleased to call some of Helena's most influential citizens my friends. They are determined to see this city grow, as am I. Mother, thank you for your kind letter. You knew my hopes. That you understand my disappointment is a great comfort to me. Every night I pray for the grace to forgive Tristan. I know you understand. Your loving son, Alfred.
Quit. God damn it!
I'd like to call him Samuel. And if it's a girl, Isabel. And I still love you. And you'll tolerate me because of how much I love you.
Heard from your mother. She says Alfred has got himself hooked up with those damn O'Banion brothers. She says he's doing well.
Alfred's gonna do well wherever he is.
Except here with us.
That's my fault.
I didn't say that.
Couldn't bring Samuel back home alive either, could I?
Don't you dare say that, boy. That was in God's hands.
Or was it?
Up near Camas Canyon. Might be a grizzly.
My grizzly?
The one I'm a squaw, I eat pipets.
You take him, Tristan.
Damn right I will.
I don't know why Tristan did not kill that damn old bear. The old ones say when a man and an animal have spilled each other's blood, they become one.
I said four bears, Mr. Southleven.
And I said no Indians.
Well, he's quite civilized, I assure you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just give him a beer.
Stay out of it, boy.
My father said four, didn't he?
He heard me. Mr. Sutcliffe and I are about to reach an understanding, isn't that right?
Just give him a goddamn beer!
Tristan, stay out of it! I say stay out of it!
Damn you. Damn fool! You're just spoiling for a fight with a man who outweighs you by 20 pounds. He is now, as we speak, searching under the bar for some kind of a weapon. Isn't that right, Mr. Sutcliffe? To split your stupid skull and kill your stone dead and good riddance too.
Now leave it!
Yes. I want four beers. No.
Well, now's the owner. He says he doesn't want to serve any.
Get back!
Now, do you see this man? Do you? His name is One Stab. He's a venerated elder of the Cree Nation and has counted coup on hundreds of his enemies. He is our friend. He's thirsty.
I think it was the bear's voice he heard deep inside him, growling low, dark, secret places.
Thank you.
Were you going to say goodbye? Tristan? How long will you be gone?
Not long. A few months.
I can make it better for you.
No.
If we'd had a child, or if I were pregnant, would you still be going? Just give me a chance.
Don't do that.
Look at me. Please, look at me. I'll wait for you. However long it takes. I'll wait for you forever. April 20th, 1918. Dear Tristan, it has been months now, and still no word. The only sign we have that you are alive is a tattered parcel that arrived today from New Guinea, it seems. Covered with strange writing and containing what appears to be a native bracelet. Meant for me, I presume, but perhaps not. Do you still care to know what is happening here? Cattle prices continue to fall, and winter seems never ending. Why don't you write? Are you never coming back and afraid to tell me? Alfred continues to do well. His business has expanded to include financial concerns in Chicago and Washington that I don't pretend to understand. He wants us to send Isabel, too, to boarding school in Chicago, but she adamantly refuses to leave the ranch. I think she, too, is waiting for you. Tristan, I have nowhere to send this letter, and no reason to believe you wish to receive it. It only for myself. And so I will hide it away along with all the things left unsaid and undone between us.
December 12th, 1919. Dear Susanna, I have become a hunter. Stab, there are creatures here that cannot even be found in books. And I have killed them all.
Susanna. All we had is dead. As I am dead. Marry another.
Colonel, looks like we got company.
Father, I have come to ask for your blessing.
A blessing?
You see, these gentlemen and...
And a great many others, I might add.
Are urging me to run for office.
Office? What sort of office?
The United States Congress.
That's how highly we think of your son in this county, Colonel.
Well, Alfred. And, what do you gentlemen hope to get out of this?
I beg your pardon, Colonel.
I spoke in plain English, sir. What do you want for yourself should my son be elected?
Father, I really don't think that these gentlemen...
Didn't you ask that question yourself, Alfred? Or do you honestly believe these good gentlemen back you simply out of a sense of patriotic duty and your own inestimable worth?
You forget yourself, Father. I am no longer a child.
Colonel, the Congress...
Congress is government, sir. And I worked for the government once.
Father, the issues that we...
Indians! Indians were the issue in those days. I can assure you, gentlemen, there is nothing quite so grotesque as the meeting of a child with a bullet. Or an entire village slaughtered while sleeping. That was the government's resolution of that particular issue, and I have seen nothing in its behavior since then that would persuade me it has gained either wisdom, common sense, or humanity.
Well, gentlemen, my father, for whom I have the deepest respect, says that the government has neither wisdom nor humanity. I will then consider it my absolute duty as my father's son to bring both wisdom and humanity to the United States Congress. I thank you for your blessing, Father. Gentlemen. Say, Tristan's always been wild. You love him for that.
Do I? Yeah, I suppose I do.
He does love you.
Alfred! She's to be your brother's wife.
Yes. Though you might better remind him of that fact.
He's not here to defend himself.
No, he's not. But I see you are here to defend him and what is his, even though he's abandoned her and you. And I won't even speak of who else he abandoned.
Damn you, boy. Don't you blame my son for Samuel's death! Samuel chose to be a soldier, and soldiers die, sent to their slaughter by men in government, parasites like you. Damn and blast you. Damn you. And damn you too.
You shut your mouth. You leave her out of this.
You get out of my house and get off my land.
Why? Because I want to serve my country as you did? Or is it because, like you, I love a woman who doesn't love me? He used her and he deserted her. Your darling Tristan.
Alfred, don't. Please.
I loved her. I love her still. and he stole her from me. Hell, if you want to know the truth of it, he stole her from Samuel before the war.
God help me, I'll kill you.
Here. Read your darling Tristan's letter. Susanna, you deserve to be happy.
Late that night, we found the colonel on the floor beside the cold fire. He could not move. His hair turned white overnight, and he became an old man. And after that, Tristan sent no more letters. And as the years passed by, we would hear that someone had seen him on the ship, going up some river no white man had gone up before. Stories came to us, strange stories. And then for years, there was nothing. He was lost to us. That was all we knew. But every year, in the moon of the falling leaves, I would dream that the bear's voice inside him had grown silent, and that Tristan might again come to live in the world. But then the winter would come, and then another spring. And still, he stayed away.
What's he doing now?
Stan?
He had a stroke some years ago. He can't talk now. He wants to celebrate.
careful.
Colonel William Ludlow from his son Tristan.
Oh, I didn't know.
Stab, these are boar's tusks made by a Japanese warrior. He too is a great man. Didn't get what now?
Decker!
I have other things too for Mother and little Izzy and Susanna. What is it?
Alfred and Miss Susanna were married several years ago. Your brother's a congressman now. They have a big new place over in Helena.
Just as should be.
Cattle prices dropped out the bottom after the war ended. Colonel ain't seemed to care much. Lost just about everything he had.
We'll make it back. On horses or something else if we have to. We'll make it back.
Horse. War.
He's saying that your brother voted for the Volstead Act.
Oh, did he? You suggesting I become a bootlegger?
Good money, bootlegger, if you know what you're doing.
Screw him! Screw the government! Screw! Told me that this was magic, that whoever wore it would be protected.
Tristan. Don't you want to see Alfred?
It's probably better that I don't. Tell him hello and congratulations.
Thank you. He likes you. Welcome home.
Isabel?
I wanted to have him.
I have something for you too. I brought back. It's from Eurypetra.
It's in,
Crete.
Crete, yeah.
I know where it is. Your father taught me European history. A little girl. That's me, right? Thank you, Tristan.
It was then that Tristan came into the quiet heart of his life. The bear inside him was sleeping. It is hard to tell of happiness. Time goes by, and we feel safe too soon.
I heard the oddest news.
Yes?
Yes. Tristan. He's back.
Yes, I know.
You know? How do you know?
I saw him.
You mean to tell me that he had the audacity to come here just to see you?
No, he wanted to see you, but he thought you'd get upset. I think you might be right.
What did he say?
He said to say hello and congratulations.
Oh, silly me. He told you the news, did he? Well, what do you think? Come on, it's perfectly absurd. Marrying Isabel, too. God. She's practically our sister. She can't be more than what? 19?
20.
You know what? I can't imagine what the hell is Decker thinking of to allow this.
Well, perhaps he's thinking of his daughter's happiness.
Happiness? With Tristan?
Hmm.
I think you of all people should know how impossible that prospect is.
Well, I'm not Isabel, too. June 2nd, 1921. Dear Tristan, I was so pleased to hear of your coming marriage. Your father must be very happy. Isabel, too, is like a daughter to him. As she was named after your own mother, it seems as though it was always meant to be, doesn't it?
Damnation.
Dearest Tristan. Alfred and I were delighted to hear of your son's birth. We had hoped for a child of our own, but of that I despair. I know Alfred thinks of you often. And I look forward to the day when we all might see one another again. Your son bears a proud and noble name. I know he will live up to it. Please give my love to Isabel, too, and to your father and everyone else. Yours always, Susanna.
Mm-hmm. Evening, gentlemen.
Tristan, been meaning to talk to you about one or two things.
By all means.
As you know perfectly well, we handle the liquor around here. Now, you've been what we'd call a small-time operator. An amateur, frankly. But lately, your shipments have been getting a little fat. And my patience has been getting a little thin. So the next time you get in our way will be the last time.
Excuse me. Appreciate it. Tristan, perhaps you're wondering why you're not dead already. Because your brother is Congressman Ludlow. And that's it. And that's all. Kenneth, Thomas.
I used to know your Uncle Samuel, who died in the war. I think you look like him.
That's what Grandpa said.
He was very brave. Very good.
Grandpa says that too. Grandpa says I can have Uncle Samuel's gun when I'm bigger. Would you come and see it?
He's a fine boy, Tristan.
He is.
How's father? Is he well?
As well as can be expected.
I wish...
Pardon the intrusion. Excuse me, Alfred. I think we're ready for your speech now.
All right, I'll be there in a minute.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kenneth. What's this? Go on, get Tyner.
Thank you, Mr. Bump, Dad.
No, we'll need for me to
drive anyway.
Information that you're transporting goods in violation of the Volstead Act.
Well, if you mean a case of Irish whiskey from my father, I am.
I have to ask you to give it up.
It'd be a bit disappointing.
In his pocket.
Now, John Key.
My brother told you to stay out of our way. Pick him up and put him in the car.
See me even now.
Blames the government for Isabel's.
Tristan, there's something we have to talk about. Now, the officer you beat, he almost died. Now, everyone understands. But they say you're going to have to plead guilty. Serve 30 days.
And the one who shot off his gun?
He was, reprimanded.
Do you banyans?
Nothing. You have to let it go, Tristan. It was a terrible, tragic accident.
Tristan, listen to me. You let this go now. You got in over your head.
Need a minute.
We all loved her.
How are you?
I never get to see you. I gave a speech the other day.
Oh, didn't you?
Yes. My first public engagement. It was on the responsibilities of women. I still sometimes dream that I'm the mother of your children. I wanted her to die. Or maybe I even wanted Samuel to die.
To do with Samuel's death, and you had nothing to do with Isabel's death.
Didn't I?
Go home. Go home to Alfred.
Mrs. Ludlow?
Where were you?
Well, I just went out for a walk. I needed a walk. What are you doing home?
Your doctor rang, said you missed your appointment. I called home. You weren't here. I
feel very tired. I'm going to go to bed.
Thank you. the water.
You have won her. I am bringing her home. Alfred. Followed all the rules. Men's and gods. And you. You followed none of them. And they all loved you more. Samuel, father. Even my own wife. I like a moment alone with her, just.
When Samuel died, I cursed God. Did I damn everybody around me as well as myself?
No. You are not damned. Listen, I won't allow that. You're not damned.
Well.
Now, Samuel, this is a gentleman's gun. It's a lot smaller, but it's just as powerful. That's what you want when you grow up, isn't it? A gun.
Samuel! Samuel, come here!
Run along now. Go with Pat.
Pat, get him in the house.
He's a fine boy. You know, we're not here to arrest you.
You take me to the woods. I don't want my boy to see.
I don't want my boy to see.
get on with it.
Hey!
Father?
Colonel Ludlow, sir!
Yeah, what's going on here?
What's going on here?
Be a genius to figure out they're gonna come after you for this.
Yeah. Alfred?
Yeah.
I wanna ask you to watch over my children. Watch over Samuel.
Brother, it'll be an honor.
How much I wanted to take scalps. It was not my kill. That night, we buried the bodies and dumped the car in a deep pool in the upper Missouri. I remember when he was a boy. I thought Tristan would never live to be an old man. I was wrong about that. I was wrong about many things. It was those who loved him most who died young. He was a rock they broke themselves against, however much he tried to protect them. But he had his honor and a long life. And he saw his children grow and raise their own families. Tristan died in 1963 in the moon of the popping trees. He was last seen up in the North Country where the hunting was still good. His grave is unmarked, but it does not matter. He had always lived in the borderland anyway, somewhere between this world and the other.
A good death.